Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, before we begin our show today, let me just wish everyone a happy 4th of July. We have been talking about this week the demise or the end of the Mormon Miracle Pageant. June 22nd, 2019 was the last performance of this outdoor play that has attracted tens of thousands of Latter-day Saints. It's now come to an end. There's no longer going to be a Mormon Miracle Pageant. So we've been talking about why that would be. And as I mentioned in a previous show, there was a statement put out by the LDS Church that basically said that local church leaders and members are encouraged to focus on gospel learning in their homes and to participate in Sabbath worship. And the church is supporting programs for children, youth, individuals, and families. And I have to admit, I'm just not convinced that that is a good enough reason for bringing these productions to a halt. But one of the theories that I have had is it could be because the historical accuracy of the Mormon Miracle Pageant is a bit questionable in some areas. And so we've been talking about that, and we've been using as an outline an article that was in a magazine that those attending the pageant were given, called the Mormon Miracle Pageant, and in it, it has a lot of articles regarding the pageant and the history of the pageant. Well, one of the articles in here is Keep Up with Fast-Paced Pageant, and there's a number of bullet points, if you will, of what the pageant is all about, and so we're talking about some of them. We won't be mentioning all of them, but so far we've gone through the first few, and certainly we have talked about the fact that modern history, as it's been being told by the LDS Church, is a bit different than the way history was told 50 years ago when the recording for this pageant was made and was used clear up until its last performance.
Yesterday, we talked about the religious excitement in New England that took place supposedly in 1820. We talked about the problems with that and Joseph Smith's first vision that, according to this pageant, that Joseph Smith prayed and God the Father and Jesus appeared to him. And now number 3 and 4 have to do with what are called gold plates. And this is what number 3 says. Angel Moroni appears to Joseph. 3 years later, after the first vision, Moroni, a post-mortal angel who lived in the Americas about 400 years after Christ, appears to Joseph and shows him where ancient gold plates are buried. And I want to point out, Bill, it says gold plates. In fact, throughout this magazine, they mention gold plates more than once, and it's always gold and not golden, as many people like to tell us.
Well, let me just inject, Eric. The play itself, on at least 3 occasions, called the plates gold. And that's the way most Latter-day Saints understand the gold plates. If you ask them what was the metal of the plates given by Moroni to Joseph Smith, they will tell you gold, not gold-colored. That's usually reserved more for those who read the apologist's excuses as to the problem with the gold plates.
This goes on and says the plates contain a historical account of Moroni's people, the Nephites, and their adversaries, the Lamanites, who inhabited the Americas from 600 BC to 400 AD. Joseph is told that the plates contain the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and that in the future he would translate them into English. And then number 4 is the translation of the gold plates. 4 years after Moroni's first visitation, Joseph is allowed to take the plates. He and his associate Oliver Cowdery begin translation. As they do so, the angel Moroni appears at the top of the Manti Temple Tower and sounds a trumpet, which signifies the truths of the book that are unfolding to Joseph Smith as he translates. Joseph and Oliver discuss the concept of Zion.
Now, because the gold plates play such an important part in the history of Mormonism, I, for several years, have been going out with my set of replica gold plates. They're made out of sheet metal, so mine are steel. Steel is a lot lighter, of course, than what gold plates would weigh. I first did this in 2007 when I asked our good friend Sandra Tanner if I could use her lead replica plates that she has on display in the Utah Lighthouse bookstore on West Temple, if I could take those with me down to Manti one year. And it had such a profound effect on Latter-day Saints who tried to lift her plates that I thought, man, this is a good idea because this is like a science experiment showing that these plates, they're heavy. Now, Sandra's plates are 118 pounds. And as you and I both know, Eric, because we volunteer at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore on Saturdays when we're in town in order to give Sandra a bit of a break, when people come into the bookstore to lift her lead plates, usually one of the first expressions out of their mouth is, are they bolted down? Because they don't move. They're only 118 pounds. Mine are only 80 pounds, 38 pounds less. Now, certainly you can pick up 80 pounds, but immediately most Latter-day Saints realize, whoa, that's a lot heavier than they thought. Even though they might, when we ask them, how much do you think you lifted? They always go with a lower number, I found, which I find that quite interesting. I've been doing this for years. I came out with my replica plates in 2011 is when I started using my replica plates. And it's been a very good illustration for many Latter-day Saints. Now, let me just tell you a quick story here. On one of the nights of the last week, we had a Mormon apologist come out to the streets of Manti. And he engaged a friend of mine who was working with me, a friend by the name of Peter Old. Now, Peter is from England. He's from Kent. And we first met Peter when we were doing an outreach at the Preston, England Temple. He came out to help us with that, and we've been good friends ever since. Well, Peter wanted to come out to the pageant because he knew this was going to be the last year. And it was great having Peter because he has this English accent, which attracted a lot of attention. Well, as we were doing this illustration on one of the side streets, this Mormon apologist, a guy by the name of Stephen Smoot, decided to come over and engage Peter. Now, I was talking at the same time to an individual who was there with his family in a Mormon youth group, but he confessed to me that he no longer believed Mormonism. So I was having this interesting conversation with this Latter-day Saint off to the side. And as I finished that conversation and prayed with this individual, a fascinating story in and of itself, when he had left, I turned around and here's Peter engaging Stephen Smoot. Now, Stephen Smoot proved one of my points. We often hear Latter-day Saints use the argument that Joseph Smith needed a miracle to carry the gold plates. Mormon apologists don't hold to that theory. And Smoot doesn't seem to hold to that theory because he was arguing fervently with Peter that the plates in his idea were only about 40 pounds. Now, he gets this, he said, from David Whitmer, who was one of the three witnesses to the authenticity of the Book of Mormon. Let me just say, folks, that is a ridiculous number to come up with because you have to come up with a metal that is going to withstand being buried in the ground for centuries that will not decompose. What metal do you think would be able to do that? Well, gold certainly would, but see, Mormon apologists know that plates the size that Joseph Smith describes would have weighed around 200 pounds. Mormon apologists are at least smart enough to know that no one can carry 200-pound plates, even though many Latter-day Saints think that Joseph Smith was a buff farm boy. Well, when I show them that that's impossible, then they go to this miracle theory. Smoot does not believe in the miracle theory. I don't know of any Mormon apologist that uses the miracle theory. How do we know this? Because Smoot, as well as a lot of these other apologists, try to get the weight of the plates down to a manageable level where it would have been quite reasonable in their eyes that Smith could have carried these plates for a distance of about 3 miles, because that's what his mother said, the plates were 3 miles away from the Smith home. He was able to jump over a log, fight off two armed attackers in two separate incidences, one of them according to pages 40 and 41 in the new history book titled Saints, it says that he knocked down one of these attackers, and carrying the plates with one arm, he runs for a distance of half a mile before he's met by another armed attacker, and he's able to knock that attacker down as well. I've always felt that this story is just too incredible and certainly should not be believed, but Smoot was arguing with Peter that the plates only weighed about 40 pounds. He refused, by the way, to even try to lift my 53-pound plates that I had with me on that day, because I have two sets, one the size that Joseph Smith gave, and then I have a lighter set that I made purposely to weigh 53 pounds, because that is the normal minimum weight that many Mormon apologists will give when they try to argue that the plates were not 200 pounds, but only 53. How did they do that? First of all, they changed the metal. They go with an alloy, a lighter alloy, tumbaga. The tumbaga theory is quite popular. If you put 50% air gap in between the plates, you can somehow, in their mind, they can get it down to 53 pounds. But he refused to lift the 53-pound weights. And I think it's because if he did, I think his argument of 40 pounds would go right out the window, and he'd realize that this is still too heavy to do what Joseph Smith supposedly did.
These plates, if they were gold, 200 pounds, and yet the play doesn't seem to help the idea of heavy plates. In number 12 is in this article, it says Mormon turns over the gold plates. Mormon, the last Nephite general, gives the gold plates, a record of the Nephites, to his son Moroni. Moroni wanders across the continent alone, ultimately burying the plates in upstate New York, where Joseph Smith will later unearth them.
Let me describe this scene in the play, because what you have is you have the character Mormon talking about he's engraving the record of his people on these plates, and then the character playing Moroni comes up, and he hands them to Moroni almost like a handoff of a football. And that doesn't seem to be heavy at all in the play. He hands these plates off to Moroni, and then the character playing Moroni runs up the hill carrying these plates, and then he supposedly buries them in the ground where Joseph Smith is going to be instructed to go and eventually retrieve them. I can only imagine the people who have lifted my plates out on the streets before the pageant starts, looking at that scene and remembering how heavy my 80-pound plates were, and realizing nobody could have taken the plates like that, being handed off to them by another individual, and then running up a hill. That certainly is going to cause some questions in their mind, though I will readily admit the play itself is not authoritative, but still it's these visuals that are being seen by the Latter-day Saints watching the play, and obviously I'm sure a lot of question marks are coming up as they're watching this play.
And yet we never hear Joseph Smith talking about how heavy these plates were. Could you see Joseph Smith going to the hill and pulling out of the hill a 200-pound set of plates? It doesn't make any sense.
And I think a lot of Mormon apologists understand that too. That's why they do the same thing a lot of lay Mormons will do. They have to insert things into the story that were never part of the story. Why? Because they know the story, as it's recorded in Mormon history, is not worth believing.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.